All glories to Lord Jagannath, who has appeared as the son of Sachi. All the three worlds offer prayers unto his lotus feet. In Nilachala he holds the conch shell disc club and lotus flower, while in the town of Nadia he holds a sannyasi staff and water pot. It is said that in olden times, as Lord Ramchandra, he killed the demon Ravan. Then later, as Lord Krishna, he revealed the splendorously opulent pastimes of Goloka. Now he has come again as Lord Gauranga, the golden avatar. Endowed with the ecstatic mood of Sri Radha, and has spread widely the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna. Vasudev Ghosh says with folded hands, he who is Gora is he who is Krishna, is he who is Lord Jagannath. Vasudev Ghosh was a personal, confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya. He is expressing in this prayer not only the feelings of love and the realizations of his heart, but what he saw with his own eyes. Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh were three of the favorite kirtan singers of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Here he is revealing the inner truth of Lord Chaitanya's identity. Rupa Goswami has sung, Namo Mahapadinyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Nama. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has descended to give an extent of mercy that no other avatar has ever offered before. Swarup Damodar Goswami describes in his beautiful prayer, Anar pita charin chirat karuna yavatirna kalo samarpaitam unutoj vala rasam swabhakti sriya hari purat sundara jyutika damba sandipita sada hridaya kandare spuratu vasachi nandana. This prayer reveals that Lord Krishna has descended as Lord Chaitanya. In the mood of Sri Radharani's love, to give what no other incarnation has ever given freely to everyone. Entrance into the conjugal mellows of the pastimes of Vrindavan. He is praying, may that Lord Chaitanya, the son of Sachi, manifest resplendently within all of your hearts. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. In the spirit of his supreme most devotee, Sri Radha, who has come to demonstrate by his example, as well as his teachings, what pleases him. The Prabhupada describes that sometimes the teacher goes through basic lessons with the student to teach the student how to do it. If you study music, the teacher could tell you what are the basic scales. But to help you actually understand, the teacher will go through and start playing the basic scales. Sa re ga ma pa da ni sa, sa ga, like that. Actually, the teacher already knows it. But he is demonstrating as if he is a student to teach you how to do. In the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has so kindly come to show us how to be a devotee. But how extraordinary. Vasudev Dutt and the other Vaishnavas are seeing how Lord Chaitanya is Lord Jagannath, worshipping Lord Jagannath. We know the story when Lord Chaitanya was requested by his mother and the other Vaishnavas at Shantipur that, please do not go to Vrindavan to stay. You can visit sometime, but you should make your residence in Jagannath Puri. Because Krishna in the form of Jagannath is performing his leelas in Puri, but it is not so far, far away as Vrindavan. In this way, we will always be able to hear your wonderful leelas and sometimes come to see you. So although Lord Chaitanya, within his heart of hearts, was longing to go to Vrindavan, so many examples. After he took initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, his ecstatic love of Krishna was for the first time really manifested. And in the late hours of the night, without telling anyone, he just started running to Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I must see Shamsundar in Vrindavan. His heart was just so eager for Vrindavan. And he was running through the forest, through the fields. None of the devotees knew where he was. But then the devatas spoke to Lord Chaitanya in a very sweet voice from the sky. My dear Lord, you have descended to this world to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. You can go to Vrindavan some other time, but now you should go back to Navadvip and establish Harinam Sankirtan for the deliverance of the people of this world. Please forgive us, but it is our service to remind you of your mission, my Lord. So, though, yes, that is my mission. So he went back to Navadvip. And he performed Sankirtan at Srivasangam, at his own house, at the house of Chandrasekhar. And so many of the townspeople were very much eager to see his dance. They heard about his dance, but they wanted to see with their own eyes. But he would not dance in front of anyone except those who had completely purified hearts, who could understand the ecstasies that he was experiencing, at least to some extent. Therefore, the doors and the windows of Srivasangam were locked to any outsiders. Only those the Lord personally admitted were allowed entrance. And many Brahmins who were very proud of their high birth and their learned scholarship and their prestige within society became very outraged and offended that they were not allowed in. But Lord Chaitanya didn't care what a person's background was. He was only concerned with a person's heart. What is their devotion? What is their love? What is their surrender? Hare Krishna. One of the people that were in there every night was Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was outcast by social convention. Another person was Kolavecha Sridhar. He was very, very poor. He had nothing. People just thought he was a very unrealistic business person. Suklambar Brahmachari, just a simple Brahmachari, just going around begging. Everyone thought he was just an ordinary beggar. But here was, you know, wealthy people and learned people not being allowed in. It was very, they were making all sorts of apparads. But the common people, the innocent people, they loved Lord Chaitanya. They had faith in him. They just wanted to please him and wanted to hear him chant and dance. So they came one morning and Lord Chaitanya gave them instructions. You just chant this Maha Mantra, no hard and fast rules. So everyone started chanting. And then there was a very, very great reaction from the Chand Kazi and his military men.
They started beating people, imprisoning people, plundering people's property if they were publicly chanting. And the poor people, they came to Lord Chaitanya and they said, I think we should move to another place. We can't give up this chanting. You've given us this chanting. It's our life. It's our soul. It's our everything. But we're being beaten. We're being threatened. We're being criticized. We're being plundered. Some of us have been put in prison. Lord Chaitanya said, you just go on chanting. It's easy to say, but when the armies with all their weapons are coming, there was practically 1,000 soldiers out all day just looking for chanters and beating them. Hare Krishna, arresting them. So Lord Chaitanya became very excited about this. Where there's obstacle, the Lord gives special mercy. When a devotee is in a dangerous, difficult situation, like the people of Navadvipa, they were crying out to the Lord for mercy because they had no other shelter. They didn't give up the chanting. They didn't give up the Lord's instruction to chant. They were willing to do it, but their lives, their property, their families, their everything was being severely threatened. It's very easy to give up. It's very easy to just, you know, go in a closet and chant japa. But the Lord told him to do it in public. Hare Krishna, this is very difficult. What would you do? There's people with clubs and sticks, brutal beating, imprisoning, plundering. So the devotees came to Lord Chaitanya. They were really chanting with feeling. They were really looking for shelter. Something like that. So, Lord Chaitanya, he proclaimed, Nityananda Prabhu, come, tell all the Vaishnavas everywhere that today I will lead the kirtan party in the streets of Navadvip. I will go right to the Chankazi's door. I will beat on that door. I will break his house down. And what will he do to me? Death personified will stand before him. Hare Krishna. Everyone come and bring your torches and we will have Harinam Sankirtan and I will lead the chanting. There is nothing to fear. That was the first time in history that Lord Chaitanya danced and chanted publicly in the streets with his devotees. It was a reaction to a very serious calamity. And his beauty attracted millions. And he went right to Chankazi's house. And Chankazi had no other recourse but to surrender. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. So yes, Lord Chaitanya began Harinam Sankirtan movement. And he ordered his devotees that whoever you meet, give them the teachings of Gita and the holy name. And this way, be guru. It was his order to everyone. But he saw that there were some people who were still criticizing him because of their false pride. So Lord Chaitanya, out of mercy to them, decided to take sannyas. He went to Kantaka Nagar, also called Katwa, and there he accepted sannyas from Kesha Bharati Maharaj. And after taking sannyas, he gave his guru the name. He said, I had a dream last night that someone gave me this mantra in my ear. And his guru said, this is a very good mantra. And then he whispered it back in the ear of the Lord. And that's how Lord Chaitanya was initiated as sannyasi. And after that wonderful, the name-giving Sri Krishna Chaitanya, because you will give Krishna consciousness to the world, Lord Chaitanya took his danda and his kamandalu, and he was wearing his kopan, and he began to dance ecstatically. He danced and he danced and his dance and his Gurudev danced, and they both lost their dandas in the enthusiasm of their love. And then Lord Chaitanya said, I'm going to Vrindavan. And he started dancing to Vrindavan. And all the people started following him to Vrindavan. And then he told Kesava Bharati Maharaj, after some distance, you should go back. I must go alone with Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Damodar Pandit, Chandrasekhar. So they continue. Nityananda Prabhu tricked him to go to Shantipur, knowing the condition of the devotees in separation. So yes, Lord Chaitanya was so very, very eager to go to Vrindavan to worship Krishna. But out of his love and respect for his mother, he accepted going to Jagannath Puri. In fact, he fell at the feet of his mother, offered obeisances. His mother cried, seeing him with shaved head. Now, when one of us shave our head, you know, nobody really cares. Parents may think you look weird, but they don't really care all that much. But Lord Chaitanya, people really cared, because his hair was so beautiful. It was the very embodiment of all beauty. Just the thought of one hair falling from his head was worse than death for the devotees. Even the atheists were feeling like that. When he actually was in Katwa and they were shaving his head, people were falling unconscious, rolling in the ground, screaming. They just couldn't tolerate seeing the most beautiful thing in all of creation multiplied by trillions of times just being cut off. It was intolerable. Even the atheists and many of the blasphemers of Navadvip, when they heard that Lord Chaitanya cut off his hair, they fell to the ground unconscious, crying. It was too painful to conceive. Can you imagine his mother's heart when she saw him? She wept. And when Lord Chaitanya saw his mother, he said this on several occasions, he said, actually, whatever devotion I have is what I have learned from you, my mother. You have, from my very infancy, you have maintained me, you have nourished me with your love, with your affection, with your care. You've given me nothing but the sincerest affection. And your devotion to Krishna has been my inspiration. My body and my life is your property. Somehow or other, I must have been in a crazy state to take sannyas. But I've done it. Now, if you like, I'll stay home with you and take care of you. Sachimata was very happy with that. But at the same time, ultimately, her love was selfless. For a sannyasi to live with a mother, he would not be very popular. He would be criticized. She knew the Lord, her son, had a mission. So she offered this prayer. She consulted with the devotees. No, you cannot stay home. You're a sannyasi. But if you go to Vrindavan, I'll never hear about your glories again. No one will tell me your pastimes. Go to Puri. So this was Lord Chaitanya's love for his devotees. He was willing to sacrifice going to Vrindavan, which he was longing to do his whole life, to please his mother and the devotees. But as he was on his way to Puri, he was only thinking of Lord Jagannath. He was so eager for the darshan of Jagannath. He came to one village, and there was a wealthy man there, and he was just crying, where is Jagannath? How far is it to Puri? When will I see Lord Jagannath? And this man never saw anyone in a state like this. He was just weeping and crying and weeping. Where is Jagannath? And this person said, Swamiji, you know, would you like to come to my house for prasad? He said, just tell me, where is Jagannath? What is the fastest route to see Jagannath? How far is Jagannath? I must see Jagannath. I long to see Jagannath. This person became a pure devotee, just seeing Lord Chaitanya's love. So ultimately, certain circumstances took place. Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, they conspired to break the Lord's danda. So the Lord said, my danda is a deity. All the demigods are present in the sannyasi's danda. It's worshipable. You have broke it. That's the only possession I have. They didn't like this danda. He's the Supreme Lord. They don't like his sense of renunciation. They want to see him as the supreme enjoyer. So he said, I will go either be ahead or behind, but I will not go to Puri with you. So devotee, you go first, we will follow. So he was just, as he was coming closer and closer to Jagannath Puri from the Mahanadi River, he was so excited. His heart was stirring in that purvarag, that anticipation to meet the Lord. And when he saw the chakra on the temple through the trees at a distant place, he offered his prostrated obeisances. And from that point on, it was just overwhelming. What was his eagerness? Rupa Goswami describes what is the price of actually attaining pure bhakti. Not austerities, not cultivation of scriptural knowledge. Those things help. But the actual qualification, not even millions of births of pious activities, but the intense, single-minded eagerness to achieve it, that is the only qualification required. That lobha, that eagerness, that intense longing to achieve Krishna's favor. Oh, how Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting this lobha, this purvarag, this ecstasy of separation, anticipating meeting. He was walking faster and faster and faster, and there was the chakra on top of the temple. And although he was walking so fast, in his heart, Kaviraj Goswami describes, it seems like it was so far away. It seemed like, even though only seconds were passing, for Lord Chaitanya, seconds seemed like years. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam. A moment seemed like many, many years to the Lord as he was approaching Lord Jagannath's beautiful darshan. And soon he was walking very, very fast, and he came to the Ataranala, that famous ancient bridge. And he crossed the bridge, and he was just rushing to the temple. And then he came to Singhadwaram Gate, and his ecstasies of anticipation were growing more and more and more. And then he entered into the temple, and when he saw the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath for the first time, he just, in ecstasy, wildly, abandoning all social conventions, started running to embrace the Lord. And just when he came before Lord Chaitanya, his spiritual condition attained such a culmination that he just fell to the ground, unconscious, with no sign of life manifesting from his body. This is Krishna eager to see Krishna in the mood of his devotee. What a wonderful, wonderful meditation. We know the guards thought he was just some crazy person. They were about to beat him. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very wise. He said, gently bring him to my home. So yes, this was Lord Chaitanya's mood. And during the Ratha Yatra, he would be in the mood of Sri Radharani. He's Krishna looking at Krishna, having the darshan of Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually told Lord Chaitanya when he came to consciousness, he said, you should not go to, your state of mind is so much, you should not go to the temple alone. You should go with me or one of my people to protect you, and you shouldn't get too close to the deity. Stand behind Garuda Stamba. Now, I'm not allowed in the temple, but from what I've heard, there is the Garuda Stamba, then there's a large kirtan and darshan hall, and then there's the deity. So it's
How many of you have been inside? It's some distance back, Garuda Stambha? Yes? Haribol. So he would stand back and he'd see Krishna. There's wonderful, wonderful narrations in Chaitanya Charitamrita of how sometimes he'd see Jagannath turn into Krishna, standing in a threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. This is how he was observing the darshan. And in doing so, he taught us. He taught us how to have darshan of the Lord. Darshan is something very holy. It is the revelation of the Lord's mercy and presence before us. First of all, there must be that eagerness. That enthusiasm is a very important substance of devotion that pleases Krishna. We cannot imitate Lord Chaitanya, but at least we could come to Mangalarti sometimes. We may not be running and weeping and crying and fainting unconscious, but at least we should be eager to see the Lord. Follow in the footsteps. We should cultivate that eagerness. We should associate with people who are eager. Because who we associate with, we take those qualities. It's very important. Mahat sevam dwara bahuravam okteis tamodwaram yoshita sangi sanga mahantasti samachita prasanta vimanya vasurida sadhavoye. If we associate with great people and render service to great people, we become great. We are blessed with the qualities of the blessings within their heart. If we associate with very worldly people, we assimilate those qualities. That is law of nature. So Lord Chaitanya, if we associate with him by hearing his wonderful, wonderful pastimes, hearing Krishna's teachings in the association of people who really have an inspiration and an eagerness and an enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, that will enliven us, that will awaken our souls' desires. Sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoy. Lava matra sarva siddhi hoy. That associating with sadhu is the most precious thing that there is in all of creation. Because that association can actually awaken that eagerness for devotional service within our heart. But we have to be receptive. We have to be receptive. We have to really try sincerely to follow in the footsteps of great souls. So how did Lord Chaitanya teach us to have the darshan of the Lord? So eager, so enthusiastic to see the deity, so eager and enthusiastic to chant the holy names, so eager and enthusiastic to be with the devotees. This is the process. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is pleased to see you. Actually, what darshan really means in Lord Chaitanya's school is not to see the deity, but to be seen by the deity. There is an important difference. Krishna is not the object and we are subject. Krishna is the supreme subject and we are the object. Krishna is seeing us. We're presenting ourselves before God as an offering. Just like when you cook, some of you may be cooking for the deities, or you may be pujaris, or you may do it at home in a simple way. But when you prepare your chapati, or dal, sabji, laddu, or here at New Vrindavan, pizza, whatever else you make, when you present that plate before the deity, really, what is it you're doing? You're presenting it before the Lord in a prayer that, please, my Lord, be pleased. Glance upon this and be pleased with this offering. It's for your pleasure.
It's such a wonderful process. The science of devotion.
Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. Tadaham bhaktu bahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha.
Krishna tells, if you even offer me a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or a little water, if it is offered with bhakti, with sincere devotion to please me, I will accept it. The Lord is living in Goloka Vrindavan, and his expansions are in Vaikunthas, enjoying the ecstatic rasas of love with his most intimate associates. What does he care for a leaf or a flower of this material world from us? That is mercy. He descends and personally accepts that leaf or flower or whatever little you offer if there's some sincerity of devotion. You don't have to be a pure devotee. If you just have some sincerity of devotion, Krishna will accept it. So we place the offering before the Lord, and the Lord glances upon it. And when he glances upon it, he can taste the purpose within the heart, the purpose and the spirit of devotion that was in the heart of the person who prepared it and the person who's offering it. Because all of that is contained within the offering. And he's pleased to accept it. So when we come before the deity in the temple, Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, this mood is very sublime. That we're just making an offering. We're not coming to see Krishna. We're coming to make an offering to Krishna. This is our prayer. That Krishna, I'm coming before you. I'm offering you my body. I'm offering you my words. I'm offering you my thoughts. I'm offering you my life. With all my defects, with all my faults, with all my sinful attachments, I'm praying that you will glance upon me with favor. By the mercy of Guru and the Vaishnavas, I'm allowed to come before you and make this offering of my life. And according to the sincerity that we approach the deity, that is what Krishna sees. He just doesn't see, you know, what type of sari you're wearing or how many folds are in your dhoti. If you're putting on your sari and folding your dhoti for the pleasure of Krishna, he'll see that intent. But he really doesn't care your dhoti or your sari. But he sees your intent. Sometimes in Vrindavan we see pujaris putting on all kinds of scents and earrings and everything because they just want to, they're next to Krishna. It's their mood to look so nice for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. Of course, we don't always do that. But we shouldn't judge. We should understand that people have their moods. They're offering to Krishna. In the line of Srila Prabhupada, we try to be very simple, but at the same time, whatever we do is for Krishna's pleasure. So yes, darshan of the Lord is not seeing Krishna, but offering your life to Krishna in his presence in such a way that he is very pleased and satisfied to see our humility, our sincerity, and our attempt to offer devotion. Even if you have no devotion, if you just have an intent, a desire, Krishna will accept that. Prabhupada was asked, what if I don't have desire? Everything's based on desire, but what if I just don't have desire? Prabhupada said, then you desire the desire. And Krishna will be pleased. And when we have this consciousness, every time we come before the Lord, it's a wonderful experience. It's a reciprocation. It's an exchange. It's not just coming in and looking. I'm looking. Krishna, you look very nice today. Yes, we should tell Krishna he looks. We should praise how beautiful Krishna is. We should be praising how beautiful Krishna is. But what is that praise? That praise is not because I'm enjoying you, I'm saying it. That praise is a glorification for the pleasure of the Lord. Now, does Krishna need us to tell him he's beautiful? Yes, some people with false egos, you know, they're insecure unless you say, you're very nice, you're very beautiful. Oh, yes, yes, thank you, thank you. Really, I'm not. But really, in heart, they want you to say that.
Yes. But for Krishna, he's Atma Rama. He's completely satisfied. But if we say it out of love, Krishna's satisfied. If we tell another devotee, well done, well done, the devotee might understand, actually it wasn't very well done, but because of your love and your affection, you're saying that, and you become very much affected by that. Yes? Oftentimes I give a miserably horrible class or a terrible kirtan, and people say, oh, very nice, Swamiji, nice. It's just their love, that's all. It's their love. And you feel very nice that people are showing love because there's reciprocation. Well, Krishna is supremely beautiful. How could we glorify him? Ananta Shesha could not describe the beautiful qualities of Krishna with all of his thousand mouths for the whole time of the creation. What are we going to say with our mundane little tongues? Hare Krishna. But if we're just sincere, Krishna is happy that we're making an attempt. We're just making some attempt, like a child, to express our love, to express our appreciation. And Krishna takes that very, very seriously because he is bhaktivatsal. He is pleased by the love of his devotees. And he's pleased by even the conditioned souls who have even a particle of desire to love him and serve him. He'll give all opportunities and all facilities. Sometimes we like the facilities and sometimes we may not like the facilities, but it's always the right facility. So yes, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should come before Lord Jagannath, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Gorni Thai, Gopal, Narasingha Dev, with a very honest, humble, and simple heart. I'm yours. When we can say that with all sincerity, our life is perfect. The day we can actually say, in perfect honesty and sincerity and humility, my Lord, from this day, I am yours. That is the day you will achieve the ultimate perfection of life. So we are preparing. We are practicing. We are saying it, my Lord, I am yours. How can I serve you? Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. Our beloved acharyas taught us, if you want to please the Lord by chanting this mantra, it's not just a matter of the pronunciation. The other day at one temple, one man was very challenging. He said, why do you people say Ramo instead of Rama? Is it Ramo or Rama? He said, it's Rama. He said, well, why do you say Ramo? I said, I don't know who says no. It's all of you say Ramo. All of you Hare Krishna say Ramo. I said, I don't know. I don't hear Hare Krishna saying Ramo. I hear them saying Ram. He said, no, no, you all say Ramo. I heard it. Ramo. It's not Ramo. It's Rama. This is not correct. Why do you do this? Didn't know we're doing it, but that's beside the point. The real thing is Krishna doesn't really care if you say Rama or Ramo. I said, Krishna wants to see our humility and our love. Even if you say it perfectly, but you're egoistic and you're judgmental toward others, you think Krishna cares? Just because you're pronouncing it correctly? Krishna's pleased, and Vaishnavas are pleased when they see sincerity, when they see devotion. That pleases the Lord. And then it was interesting because one of the pujaris who was next to him, who was his guru, said to him, actually, if you want to know
the specific Sanskrit of our sampradaya, it's not Rama. It's Sri Ramaha. So even you're saying it wrong.
So then I... Who can say anything right? You have to...
We should try to say it right. We should try to pronounce articulately and be attentive. But really, it's the sincerity of our intent that Krishna accepts. You know the story of that devotee who was reading Bhagavad Gita in Sri Rangam. He was saying all the verses wrong. And the great pundits were saying, no, it's not Rama, it's Ram, it's not Ramo, it's Rama. And he was like, he didn't pronounce, he didn't know anything about pronunciation so much, but he was sincere. He was being laughed at, he was being ridiculed, he was being criticized by all these pundits who very, very excellent pronunciation. Lord Chaitanya really didn't care for all those excellent pronouncers. He was happy to see this Brahman. He said, why are you crying in love when you're reading? He said, actually, I don't know what I'm reading. Not only do I not pronounce it right, I don't even understand the words, but my Gurudev told me to recite the Gita every day, all 700 verses, and just to please him, I'm doing it. And people laugh at me and they criticize me, but what can I do? I'm just trying to please my guru. Lord Chaitanya said, that is really what is Bhagavad Gita. You have understood Gita. Why are you crying? If you don't understand so much, why are you crying? He said, I'm just seeing Krishna, who has a beautiful complexion like a tamal tree. Shyam Sundar. He's holding the reins of the horses of Arjuna. And he's speaking to him Bhagavad Gita. When I remember this form in my heart, it causes tears to flow from my eyes. He didn't understand, he didn't pronounce, but his sincerity to please his guru, to serve his guru, Krishna was manifesting himself in his eternal, beautiful form of Shyam Sundar within his heart. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, you are the true knower of Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya remained with that. He kept that devotee in his personal, intimate association for 4 continuous months. And bestowed upon him ecstatic prema bhakti. Hare Krishna. So wonderful. So when we come before the Lord, we should come before the Lord as such a humble servant of the Vaishnavas. Even in the Bible, Jesus said like this, if you have antagonistic feelings towards somebody, if you're having a battle with someone and you're going to bring an offering to the altar, put your offering down, go beg forgiveness, work out things with your brother, then make the offering and the Lord will accept it. That's our philosophy too. Kanishta Adhikari is very concerned with just doing the rituals for the deities. Madhyama Adhikari understands that the deity is watching us in the heart of every devotee. How we treat the devotees is how Krishna is pleased with us. How we're respectful to every living being is how Krishna will be pleased with us. If we honor and serve the Vaishnavas, if we respectfully try to show proper consciousness to the conditioned souls, if we're trying to genuinely follow the instructions of the spiritual masters, then when I come before the deity, he will be pleased with me. In one sense, coming before the deity is like an offering. It takes a lot of work to make the bhoga, doesn't it? If you're making paramana, sweet rice, kheer, sadhus in India call it paramana, the supreme food. And regular Indians call it kheer. And Hare Krishna devotees in the West call it sweet rice. But it's the same thing. So you take this, It takes a while. You have to get the milk, you have to purchase it or whatever, you have to milk the cow. Here at New Vrindavan, first you milk the cow, and then you bring the milk in, then you put it, then you get some grains, and then you mix, and then you put, then you cut wood and you start a fire. This is the way we used to do it in the old days. Then you have to fan the fire, and all the smoke's getting in your eyes, and it hurts a lot. And then you have to stir the pot, and then you put some camphor, and then you put some sugar, and you're cooking, and very slowly is the best. One devotee, Ambarish, he used to make sweet rice. Prabhupada tasted his sweet rice and said, "This is the best sweet rice I have tasted in 40 years. Hare Krishna. Why? He went out and milked the cows with his own hands, and he brought that milk, big amount. Every Saturday night, he would cook the devotees for the Sunday feast. Would you like to hear this story?
Okay.
Maybe it will make you more eager for prasad. Right? It was a big pot, about a 30-gallon pot. And he had a big wooden paddle. He had to stir it. It was a 30-gallon pot. And I used to cut the wood, and we'd be cooking together. And put the wood in, and smoke, and fire. And he would have the flame, a very small flame, tiny flame. It would take, he would stir that pot continuously. He would start about 9 at night. 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. For one batch of sweet rice, he stayed up and stirred that pot for 8 continuous hours. Now, you could make it in 2 if you get a good flame. But he did it. It would be so much devotion. It would just be going. It wouldn't be like boiling. Like boiling. It would just be going. Because it was such a small flame, he's just stirring and stirring. It was really in the mode of goodness. I mean, you really had to have patience to make it like this. Just. And sometimes. And I wasn't a Brahmin at that time, so I wasn't allowed to stir the pot. I was just doing other things. And he would just get really tired because he'd be up all, just like at 1 in the morning, you just go, just one pot. It's not that you have to go like this. You just, and he'd just say, "I have to take rest. Wake me up in 3 minutes. And he'd just sit on the floor and lean against the wall. And just like, and 3 minutes later, I'd say, "You know, Ambarish Prabhu," he'd just jump up. Just go like this. And about 2 hours later, he'd say, "I have to take rest. You know, wake me up in 3 minutes. 3 minutes later. He'd do that every Sunday, every Saturday night. He just gave up a night's sleeping, and I had to do it too to help him. I was making sandesh at the same time for the Sunday program. So we had no time in the day, so we had to. Because he did it with so much care and devotion and just perfect. He wanted every, for him, every single grain in that 35-gallon pot had to just be absolutely perfect. And it was. It was like the texture of that sweet was like silk. It was so smooth. It was nectar. Therefore, Prabhupada said the best he had ever drunk in 40 years. Now, why did I tell that story? Well, who remembers what I was saying before I got lost in that story? Huh? Ah, yes, yes. Archana is very attentive tonight. She's very always. So yes, he would spend 8 hours making that. And then he'd present it to the deity, to Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Then Krishna would see the intent of how his devotee is trying to please him through this offering. So it's not that we offer fast foods to Krishna. Krishna tastes the devotion. He doesn't teach. It's not that just, you know, you just take something out of a package and put it right up in Raghavan Chandra, you know, take it. It doesn't matter. It's right out of the package. I bought it. He wants to see the devotion. At one time in New Vrindavan, Mother Katila was head cook, I remember. I was pujari at that time, Radha Vrindavan Chandra Temple. We were making every single day for Radha Vrindavan Chandra, for the Rajbhog offering, one offering, every single day, 108 items. Hare Krishna. It's amazing. Actually, Sunday was 108. Every day was 64, if I remember right. Every single day, 64 items. And they were not like little items. They were very, very samosas, kichuris, you know, 5 chutneys, 12 subjis. 64 items. So many different sweets, laddus, laglus, sandesh, burfi, pera. They would have a team of about 6 or 7 women cooking for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then they bring all these preparations up. And at that time, I was pujari with Gargarishi. And making up the plates every day was unbelievable. There was 5 plates. And you had to put 64 items on all 5. So many plates, but there were 5 altars. There was Gornitai, there was the Gurus, there was Shalagram Shilas, there was Radha Vrindavan Chandra, and there was Jagannath. And each one had their own plates. And for this offering, each one had many plates. We have to divide it. It took 1 hour minimum just to make up the plates. Every day. Now you may say, and nobody even got the maha until the next morning. So an ordinary person would say, this is really an over-endeavor. They have 6 ladies just slaving away in the kitchen. Maybe it was less, maybe 3, 4, I'm not sure. I never really looked carefully at the ladies cooking. But Katila Devi, she was the cook. I remember so many offerings, and they just keep bringing them up and bringing them up and bringing up, and we're just like putting them on plates. And the offering had to be exactly on the second. The bell would ring when the second hand reached the 12 of the minute the offering was supposed to be made. That was how meticulous we were in those days. The cook spent hours and hours and hours, and it took an hour just to make up the plates and to bring them all in. We were just running, one plate after another. And then we'd make the offering. Then we had to clean all those plates, and we had to transfer all that Mahaprasad. And we have to find a place to keep it. Because there wasn't space. It was a small pujari room. Big effort. But the culmination of everything is when you ring the bell and say, Krishna, this is for you. Yes? So it's not just the moment that you're making the offering that Krishna is accepting. It's all that went into it. So similarly, when we stand before the deity, it's not that I'm nice now, Krishna. What have we been all day? What have we been all week? What has been our sincerity? How have we been chanting the holy names? How have we been serving the Vaishnavas? How have we been practicing the humble, sincere qualities of a Vaishnava? How have we been forgiving to others? How have we been honest and sincere in our dealings? When we come before the deity, everything we've done, everything we've said, everything we've been thinking is the offering we're making. Here I am. I'm yours, Krishna. Please accept my body, my mind, my words, my life. So that is one way of going for darshan, is living in such a way that when we come before Radha Vrindavan Chandra, he is pleased. to accept our life and our service. That is Lord Chaitanya's teaching, how to live for the pleasure of the Lord. And if we have this consciousness, it is not idol worship. It's such a sweet, deep, mystical, spiritual experience of surrender. That is what darshan is about. Idol worship is if we do things carelessly, if we do things without thought, without faith, that is idol worship. But when we have faith that Krishna is a person and he's here, and we mold our whole life around making our presentation to the deity pleasing to him. Yes, your whole day is preparing bhoga for the offering to Krishna. This should be our consciousness when we come before the deity in the temple. This should be our consciousness when we come before the deity in the form of the holy name. That our relationships and our efforts are pleasing. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now we will perform Nam Sankirtan. And please chant and dance for the pleasure of Krishna and Vaishnavas. That is the mood that will bring the Lord's presence into our life.